May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 207. Father, how wide thy glory shines, how high thy wonders rise, known through the earth by thousand signs, by thousands through the skies. Hymn 207.
Thank you. From the Holy Word of God, let us read Psalm 107. In the Book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his name with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto thee, Lord, in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise thee, Lord, for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. O thou most blessed God, do favour us with living waters here as we meet around thy word. Lord, where sinners poor and sinners vile, all must tell thee the truth. Oh, we're helpless, needy, guilty, weak, wretched. But thou art the Christ, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that that Christ, the Son of the living God, oh, we do pray thou bless us, as we have now turned in from the busy scenes of the daily life on this weeknight. Oh, may there be some word in season, something for the poor, something by the Holy Ghost to our needy souls, to make thy word a living word. Let it be, O Lord, with some dew and power and unction from on high tonight. Oh, command the blessing. We pray. We need thee, Lord, all that's in thee for sinners, for dying men, Oh, for poor prisoners. Oh, we need all thy power, all thy love, all thy mercy, that great forgiveness. Oh, we need thee to clothe us in thy righteousness, that our nakedness may be covered. We need thee to shine upon us from above. Oh, to comfort us in our hearts and sweetly confirm our souls. We need, Lord, that fear not for the future, the unknown way. Want thy mighty hand to be upon us, Lord. We need thee to gird us with an everlasting strength. We need to be with every step of the journey. We need a complete salvation to be saved from sin, this bewitching world, the love of it. Especially we have to pray this, save us chiefly from ourselves. The old ministers used to say, oh, that I had not a myself. But Lord, this myself is something that troubles us every minute of the day. Lord, when we would do good, evil is present with us. We can say then us whether we're sincere or not. Oh, may the Holy Ghost witness with us. We believe we can say we desire, truly desire, to walk in thy fear all the day long. We desire to serve thee, to walk in all thy holy ways. We long thou'lt come and reign over us and conquer sin, death and hell inside us. Oh, we believe we can say, indeed, the Spirit is willing. But Lord, those poor disciples had such a weak flesh, and so have we. Can't even watch for 1 hour. And Lord, they soon ran away. And that tells us about ourselves, if left to ourselves. Oh, we shirk the cross, trying to circumnavigate the narrowness of the way, but we can't. Don't let us, but support us and bless us. And where we backslide and wander, do look upon us, as there is look upon Peter, and break our hearts. There may be a going out to be alone and to weep bitterly before the Lord. Lord, then ask the heartache and the soul trouble of each one, the needs of one and another, the exercises, the thoughts, the hopes and the fears that alternate rise. Where there's that real note of praise among us, where there's that broken heart and contrite spirit, where there's a cry and need from the soul, Lord help me, or show me now thy way. Oh, where there's that cry, lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, may there be some help from on high. Lord, we don't know the number of years before us. The one thing we know is we journey on so quickly, and we're getting older all the time, that the sand is running through so quickly in our little glass of time. We don't know how much sand we have in the top glass. But we do need to earnestly entreat thee and seek thee in this. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Lord, we pray there may be some sheep here tonight that will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. How wonderful is that terminology. Ah, thou that good shepherd. That good shepherd of the sheep. Oh, thou blessed friend of sinners. Oh, we do pray that we might know thee as our resurrection, as our life. Lord, we pray then that not be with us in our remaining days. We have many matters we will bring before thee, Lord. Loved ones, offspring, present circumstances, the gloomy mountains that may be before brethren here, or those solemn forebodings. Lord, may we be helped once again to bring our sinnership. Lord, we believe this every day of our remaining days. Surely we shall have to confess our sins while we have our nature. But we believe we can truly pray this to the Saviour. Do thou my sins subdue, thy sovereign love make known, the spirit of my mind renew, and save me in thy Son. Speak the healing word. Oh, do say, peace be still. Oh, grant that sins might be removed even in one case, but we pray in each case, many cases, here tonight. Oh, do reveal thyself through the letters of the gospel. Show us thy loving heart. Engage our affections toward thee. May we get a glimpse through the letters of the gospel of that loving man. As the poet says in prayer to the Spirit, we pray the same to thee, thou blessed Holy Ghost. Hear our cries in this. Show us that loving man that rules the courts of bliss. The Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the eternal Prince of Peace. Please be with us then in all the unknown. Make all our crooked things straight, Lord. Be better than all our many, many fears. Deal with us in grace. And not according to our sins and trespasses. Deal with us in mercy. Naturally we're full of folly, but thou art more full of grace than we have sinned. Remember those with families, dear ones, little ones. Oh, help them to bring them unto thee. Oh, we bring the little ones to thee this night. We love to see them and hear them in Zion. And we love the little faces. But we wonder what they live to see. What a terrible age we live in, Lord. We don't need to inform thee, but may we pray about these things. We wonder what our dear young friends will live to see, those dear little ones in arms, are spared. Save them, Lord. 'Tis so vital. Oh, put thy fear in their hearts while they are young and tender in years, Lord. Oh, do hear prayer. Oh, thy kingdom come now. So bless us in our gathering. We think of aged friends and widows, and the lonely ones, the married and the unmarried, each with their own personal and private needs. Friends in daily business, mothers in the home, those in weakness of age, those who would be here, unable to, for many lawful reasons, different lawful reasons. Perhaps those who could have come along and haven't any need. Bring them into need. Remember the exercised here tonight. May there be a gospel crumb, some quickening, gracious word in counselling their soul. And those among us who have gathered but do not know their true state, happy just to come and go away again. Oh, we pray that thou quicken such into eternal life. Pass by their souls and say, live, and they will live. Now do remember us. So bless this people. Grant them thy spirit. Lord, bless many sinners with those gracious additions in due time, that those who fear thy name may be able to come and tell what thou hast done for their never dying soul, and sit at thy table and do these things in remembrance of thee. Or bring others from this village and district such as shall be saved. Dear friends in office, be very gracious to them. Give much wisdom, godly fear, or may they be given that single eye, that all things in tenderness, sobriety, and to the glory of Christ, and to the good of thy dear people. Bind this people together in love and union. Provide for them all things, both in the ministry, the pastor in due time, and the material supplies. But feed the poor, strengthen the weak, and remember neighbouring causes, local pastor at Fenstanton, the friends there, and other local causes, the dear flock at home. Oh, grant us thy spirit there. Bless each precious soul, young and old. Remember Zion. Lord, don't not forget her, but we may ask, bless her, because thou wilt bless her. Lord, in all matters, poor and needy, wretched we are, and yet in pleading, through Jesus Christ our Lord alone, oh, we may plead promised blessings, good things from God, things that are declared in thy word, things that must come to pass in the earth, in gathering thy dear people safely home to glory, to plead the fullness of the grace that is with thee, that thou mayest be feared and loved and known, reverenced, worshipped, and truly eaten and drunk. Oh, Lord, what a living friend thou art. We plead, bless Zion. Remember her. Remember thy dear people here. Remember the little ones in Zion. Remember the outcasts. Remember, Lord, the poor unlikely believers sitting in a corner. Oh, work in their heart and confirm their soul. My little dear remnant that's obscure in the earth. Oh, bring them to shining glory. Oh, thy kingdom come. Pardon our rampant, wretched, violent, terrible, dreadful sinnership. Words can't adequately describe what we groan under at times, but neither can human language declare. Oh, the grace, the wonders of redeeming love, the glories of Emmanuel. The apostle did say that he must die to speak of Christ. Oh, grant that such a day may come to us. God, be merciful to us each now. Before we close, we thank thee, thy wonderful, kind mercies, Lord. They're new every morning. Our cup runs over. Great is thy faithfulness. Thou art a good God. Help us to trust thee forever. Wait upon in every matter. So hear our thanksgivings. Hear our praises. But please loose a stammerer's tongue. May there be something for some poor sinner. A word from the Lord. Oh, we beg, even tonight. Pardon us and be with us. We plead thy all-prevailing name. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. Hymn 772.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 107 and to verses 21 and 22. Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. David tells us that the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Yes, a broken heart and a contrite spirit God will not despise. Tremendous truth. And a broken heart and a contrite spirit will eventually break out into everlasting praise. Everlasting praise. In this psalm we read, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. All the glory that is prepared for the pilgrims here below. The apostle says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And I think it is true in every case in the whole church of God, the election of grace, they will all walk this way. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord's people will prove the faithfulness, the infinite goodness, and the wondrous grace, yea, the exceeding wondrous grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke very plainly to his apostles and to us in his word. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." My nature looks for peace everywhere else, and so does yours by nature. What a mercy the Lord is doing things in you and done something for you, that you're very wise now, you want his everlasting peace. Oh, his peace to flow into your heart and your conscience. You want to find that peace, that rest, that peculiar joy in him and in him alone. That in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now you see, my friends, we have now launched into another year, passed the threshold now and taken a few steps into this new year. We don't know the way. Some of us have many fears, many mountains before us. One finds himself increasingly weak, spiritually and helpless. We do want a guide, don't we? We do need a shepherd. We do need a heavenly friend. And if the Lord is leading us, if we're pilgrims, most certainly the Lord will lead you. If you're exercised to get to heaven, to be forgiven, to know the Lord's favour and blessing, to receive his mercy while you live here, this includes all your earthly sin in circumstances in God's divine providence over you, and in the salvation of our never-dying souls. You will be led forth by the right way. And let me say very plainly, that right way is Christ. We sang just now, didn't we? Christ is the keeper of his saints. And I noticed as we were singing there, you see, he leads them on in fair Zion's way, I think we sang, didn't we? He'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint. And we know that, don't you? Weary, weak, faint. But how the poet says, for oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, or God e'er lose a saint. Tremendous truth, isn't it? Often you may be, and we are tried, but many things, the enemy comes in like a flood, we get a glimpse of ourselves, or we find such foul, stinking, wretched things in us, as Gadsby says here, somewhere, if I can just find it in 545, sins as foul as hell, he'll find rising up against his mind. Nor will Satan spare to say he has quite mistook the way. Yet through all the scenes of time, Jesus as his way shall shine, brighter than the blaze of day, suited to him as his way. Oh, how suitable the Lord is, apposite, to a poor, weary, wretched sinner. And the Holy Ghost, by sweet teaching in you, brings you to see and view it by faith and reveals that that's the gospel, something of his glory and beauty, so suitable for, why, poor, weeping, miserable, distressed and helpless sinners. Well, we have many ups and downs in this psalm. It would be wrong for me to say I have a favourite part of the Word of God. It's all so blessedly pure. Yet there are those parts of the Scriptures which over the years have made a real help and describe yourself to yourself and declare to you, the Lord, your righteousness. And so I suppose there are those parts of the Bible that you can call your own little Bible, by the distilling and teaching and sealing of the Spirit to your soul. But remember, I remember each one, every word of God is pure, but Psalm 107 seems to be one of my favourite psalms, one of them, because in it are described so many ups and downs in the daily life, the yearly round in our pilgrimage. Oh, the cries for help, the answers to our poor prayers, the deliverances. Oh, fools, because of their transgression are afflicted. Oh, the Lord chastens his dear people betimes. Oh, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They cry to the Lord. They that go down to the sea in ships, of course in those days sailing boats or rowing boats, that did business in deep waters. Oh, how often they were tossed about like corks on the sea. And it's like that spiritually, isn't it? No power of your own. You see, they were dependent, weren't they, on the elements in olden times. We're dependent upon God, the favourable winds to make a headwind and sail along, aren't we? But oh, how we soon taught how weak and helpless, our complete ruin, our dependence on the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. When the storm blows, we fear we're going to make shipwreck. We'll be swallowed up in the deep of distress and sink to rise no more and prove at last to be hypocrites in Zion, wondering where the scene will end. So we read, he says, these see the works of the Lord and his wonder in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Like wax, you see. You're like water poured out almost, spilt. And you feel you'll never recover from these things. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord. You see, friends, in this psalm, while the many temptations and trials and sorrows are so ably set forth by the psalmist, yet all the victories, all the deliverances, all the kindness, the mercies of God in drawing near, answering your poor prayers. How he concludes, doesn't he? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Who sees these things in his life and observes them, which has a deeper sense, not mere seeing, but laying to heart and keeping these things in many errands to the throne of grace, much reverencing of the Son of God, owning and falling down before him. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried. They gave their all, as it were. They sank down. Lord, help me. Let me be in thy hand. Let me be in thy hand, Lord. My poor David, when he was in such trouble. Why was he in such trouble? Oh, his pride, my friends. Oh, his pride brought him into trouble. He numbered Israel, didn't he? Didn't need to. Even ungodly Job reproved him for it. Fancy that. A most godly king being reproved by an ungodly captain. Could see even David's folly, and he didn't see it himself, did he? Oh, but how he made. See the faith rising there. The root in him. The life of God in the soul. Let me fall into the hand of God and not into the hand of man. Does that describe your case? Let me sink down into thy hands, O Lord. Be merciful. No one can help me but thy blessed self. Only thou canst deliver my soul. And thou canst undertake for me. Thou canst only save me and lead me forth safely on by that right way. And, oh, have you not known it is in your own soul to be emboldened, to plead his name for mercy, sparing, strengthening grace, to implore him for the love, the power, the grace that's in him for sinners, and to plead his infinite merit and worth in his all-prevailing name. Oh, what a blessed name Emmanuel has. A name above every name. Well, we must try and come to these two verses, the Lord helping us. So, of course, the 21st verse is part of the refrain that occurs, you see, in this psalm. You see, there are two refrains, really. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And then the sacred exclamation, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Oh, the Lord help us to find a few things tonight and find a few sinners tonight. That indeed there may be that crying out from her own heart, oh that men, oh that I might myself praise the Lord, sacrifice those sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, that I would praise the Lord, what for? His goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Friend, you who fear God, cannot trace out some wonderful works in your lives. So often we're cast down and put to it and find ourselves flat and dull and heavy and prayerless and wretched in the sight of God and wretched in our own eyes also. But my dear friends, even in this, if there's a groaning in your heart after Christ, you are indeed a partaker of his wonderful works. For I believe not only from the pure doctrine of the Scripture and the Lord's dealings with his dear people in the Scripture experimentally and in the exercise of my own soul, there's nothing in nature that really wants Christ. It's all grace to you who desire the knowledge of him. Well, let us try, and the Lord helping me to trace out a few things whereby, we may say from our very heart, oh that men, and personally too, oh that I would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You see, the Lord must do things for us for this, and he does things for his people. So in this, I would desire firstly to consider that salvation that is finished. And secondly, that salvation the Lord is performing for us in our lives here, experimentally. And then have to conclude with verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Well, I realise the subject is vast, tremendous, but let us just consider a few things. What a wonder that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a wonder. And you'll know whether it is by an exercise, you see. I want to come to the exercise in a moment. See, what a wonder. You who fear God and are knocking at mercy's door and are crying after the Lord Jesus. You need feeding in your soul, sweet confirmings, God's tender mercies to flow upon you and go before you all your days. What a wonder. Hast thou considered it? Have you any evidence the Lord is dealing with you? Any little hope in him? Do you know a word in season? Your weak hands to be strengthened, sweet hope to be raised up in his tender love and mercy towards sinners? Answers to prayer in the earthly scene of your life here? And how when the Lord began to appear there was a longing, you might win Christ and also live to his glory. In coming along, I think I confess this in prayer, I had to say, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner, but I believe I can say this. There's something in me that longs to serve thee and walk in all thy ways and live to thy glory. It struck, that text dropped in. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our weak flesh, my friend, is such a trial to you. Now, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it appears, and it will appear if it is, in your life, the work of grace. It'll bring you to groan within yourself. But firstly then, what a wonder that is. And you know, my friends, it's the divine prerogative of Jehovah. And it's a great mystery. And especially when you begin to know what a wretched sinner you are. But then you see, to bring these rebel men to him, to live with him, into his presence, to entertain them at his supper, an everlasting supper. Oh, to bring them to the marriage. Oh, in the most high and glorious and holy sense, to the marriage supper, to the marriage chamber. And where's that glory? To a sinless state where you gaze upon the Lamb and sing the lasting song forever and forever and forever, pure and undefiled. Now, to bring such a sinner there, oh, the cost, my friend. Oh, the cost. I believe, you know, friends, when the Lord so sanctifies and touches our heart, you find such a weeping. Weeping like the sinner from the city, which Simon the Pharisee, who Simon the Pharisee despised. Oh, how she wept in adoration and worship at his feet, wiping his feet with her hairs and washing his feet with her tears. The most wretched woman of the city comes into the eternal Son of God, knowing in her heart, believing in her heart who he is. And though she comes in such a wretched sinner, yet what a blessed change. And my dear friends, when you consider the cost, it'll make you weep at times. But I believe it will bring you to bow down and worship him here. But in our worship, there is much petitioning. We don't worship free of sin. We don't worship yet in glory. We worship as poor men, believing him to be the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, knowing in our hearts sweetly the truth that distills in your soul, the doctrine that he is your righteousness, your everlasting strength, your eternal rock, your refuge in times of trouble, your good shepherd, God's own lamb for you, your own lamb slain by God for you. Not slain by man, but slain by God. Oh, I believe this will bring a certain rejoicing and a peculiar joy in your heart. And I believe it has to, that joy and worship and a holy laughter in the sweet hope you have in Christ, who is the hope of Israel and the Saviour thereof. Yet it is amidst many petitions for superabounding grace that we might overcome and stand every storm, pass safely through life and safely through death, home to glory. So the first notes of praise are struck up here in this lower world of sin, death and sorrow. We don't sing the high full note yet in all the glorious melody. It is with a lisping and a stammering tongue, as the poet says in 160. And yet in hope, hope of a glorious resurrection. When we consider the finality of the death of Jesus. What a finality in it. What a finality when the sons of men die. They'll return no more. We see them no more forever. They're gone. And as the tree falls, so shall it lie forever, either in glory or sink in the bottomless pit forever. But oh, what a blessed finality in the death of Emmanuel. It is finished. And ye are complete in him, says the apostle. Every sin, every black sin, foul sin, stinking sin, all your hardness of heart, all your self-will, all our pride, all our unbelief, all our worldliness, what we are by nature, the nature that we live with from the first breath to the last breath, its motions in the heart, its movements, all pardoned, all washed away. Tremendous gospel, not a stain, not a spot. No spot or wrinkle upon the bride. Oh, my dear friends, and how can these things be? Why, your sins, your nature, laid upon Christ. Ponder it well, you who call upon that precious name for help and for mercy. Oh, lay it well into your heart. Pray the Holy Ghost to lay it well into your heart. But you who plead with him and have to bring your care, your soul, your life, your future, believing in your heart that he's the only one that can deliver you, bring you safely through, and have great compassion on you, and be better than all your fears. Oh, the cost. Oh, that your poor prayers might be heard. Oh, that you might go to heaven. He died. Such an ignominious and solemn death. Yea, in his life he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But the day came when, as the prophet Jeremiah says, behold, all ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me in the day with the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. I've not spoken of that quite in the correct way, but in the day of his fierce anger, when he was smitten, you see, as Jeremiah tells us in the Lamentations. You know, we read in Isaiah 53, he poured out his soul unto death. Has your soul bled before the Lord in distress? Oh, you do want some token of his mercy, some token of his favour. See, you who fear God and know something of the pathway of this psalmist, you see, you know what it is to pour out your soul. No, not unto death, but you wondered whether you would sink in it and come down to death in these things. And yet, oh, you could only look to Christ and plead Christ and wait upon Christ. Oh, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Oh, that fierce anger has passed by the whole church. Peter's denyings with oaths and curses. Solomon's idolatry. Bringing in idols. Worshipping. Other begin to worship other deities. And yet he saw the demonstration, the answer to his prayers, the fire coming down from heaven in the temple. Lord, filling that temple with glory, granting he and Israel token that when poor sinners look to this place, they will be heard. That's the gospel. You look to the holiest of all, where Jesus sits in glory, confessing your sins, renouncing all your righteousness, pleading his love, his mercy, and asking for his name's sake. Ah, sinner, though there be trial in your life, yet we are told by that fire that came down from heaven, that consumed the sacrifice and the glory that filled the temple, that your poor prayers are heard for his name's sake, his name's sake. You see, we read, don't we, in Luke, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. No, none will go into that agony of the weight of the sins of the whole church. And a mystery, and I speak very carefully here, I would speak carefully. These are deep mysteries. But he did cry out, my God, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I have to say, upon this point, I hope I'm right. The Lord, give me a tender conscience, and if I speak wrongly of his blessed majesty, grant me some little reproof or stab in my soul that to stop me saying these things. But I do not believe there's any break in communion in the Godhead. But I believe the holy sufferer, he, the shepherd of Israel and God's own lamb, and his suffering at Calvary, knew the hidings of his father's face. You see, it says, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, nor the suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Do not believe that Jesus ever went into that complete hell where the devils are. But he came into a hellish sorrow, a place of a feeling of banishment. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why am I alone in this? The sins of the people, the love of your heavenly Father toward you, sinner, the love of your dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to bear this deep sorrow. And such was his agony, an angel appeared and strengthened him. Have you longed for the Lord to come and strengthen you? Really strengthen you? How you had to pray, being in an agony of distress and sorrow, guilt and perplexity and amazement, and crying out like Jeremiah, I cry and shall he shut it out my prayer? And in it, oh, the Lord has strengthened your soul and able to wrestle on. Help from heaven. As Emmanuel knew the help of the angel coming down. And think of the humility. Oh, the humiliation of Emmanuel. That angel he created should wing its way to this lower world and strengthen the Creator as he suffered in his sacred humanity here below. Oh, may there be a note of praise from our heart if you're a poor seeking soul and knocking at mercy's door. Dost thou value this great stoop of Emmanuel? Oh, my friends, do you long to know him and win him, be found in him? When you know he died, oh, as I said, the finality, the completeness, no more sacrifice for sin, friends. He lives in the presence of God to hear the prayers. Now, think of my text last time. Here in December, just before Christmas, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He will, because the promise is sealed by the blood of the everlasting covenant. And the gates of hell and your sinnership cannot prevail against the superabounding grace of God. My friends, he died once. In the end of the world, that is, it's in Hebrew, it says end of the world, meaning in these latter days, these latter times, he died once and has entered into heaven with his own blood. God raised him from the dead. He's risen for our justification. I was thinking of that word coming along the motorway. Because I live, ye shall live also. Your Saviour lives to die no more. Gives you your poor prayers. Lives to look down upon you in his tender love and pity. And regard the prayer of the destitute, not despise their prayer. Oh, he lives to look upon with favour the apple of his eye, all that his Father has given him. Risen for your justification. Who can condemn that sinner that pleads Christ, looks to Christ, trusts alone to Christ, and commits his soul, life, and body, and circumstances unto Christ? Who commits his will unto Christ, casts his care upon Christ, sowing in tears, praying it may be seemingly pathetic prayers and poor prayers, but believing and saying, I'll not let thee go till a blessing thou bestow.
Oh, he's risen for this sinner's justification. Vile and impure, he knows himself to be in every part, and yet accounted righteous, you see, in looking alone to Jesus. Oh, and risen to go to heaven, with his own blood, and sit there as that merciful and faithful high priest. Oh, the finality of that death. God has raised his dear son to his right hand to bless the poor, gathering the elect by his divine government, sending the Holy Ghost to them to begin a work of grace in their heart. Oh, the sovereignty of that blessed, glorious King. Oh, friend, the most blessed King in glory. He's got all power to deliver you, help you, be merciful to you, lead you forth by that right way. You might go to a city of habitation. His loving heart is engaged to be your everlasting surety. And he's preparing a place for these pilgrims. How nervous they are in the journey at times. Nervous of dying. Grieved over their sins and wandering hearts. Oh, they renounce all their own righteousness and say, I'm an unprofitable servant, Lord. My best is stained and die with him all is nothing worth. Yet they look to Christ and plead Christ. And there's something these pilgrims do. They begin to reverence and honour the Son. You see, the way that Christ is honoured is a poor man coming to him as he is in all his wretchedness and ruin, weakness, distress, telling the Lord he's nothing of his own, nothing of my nature. Lord, let us self, I'm dead in treason and sins, I'm just carnal and sold under sin. But thou art the Christ, I need thee. I need thy grace. I hear, Lord, there's room in thy kingdom. Thy word says there's room. Thy word says thou art the way to God. And I must find thee. I must come to God. I long to be reconciled to God. Pardon my sins, Lord. Oh, be merciful to me in the earthly scene. I am so afraid of the future. I wonder where the scene will end, Lord. Oh, have pity and regard upon me and sanctify me and fill thy fullness. Be better than all my fears and lead me the way everlasting so that I'm carried safely through my militant estate here as I journey on and safely home to glory. See, he begins a work of grace. I must come to that now. Just touched upon the Lord in his life, his death, his resurrection. Long to have said much more, but time goes. So we say this, my friends, if I may just conclude my first thoughts. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, wonder what works children of men in raising up a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Raising him to his right hand, receiving him into glory. Jesus, oh, poor wandering sinner who would long for the Lord to bless you, and maybe has blessed you indeed, and you long for it to be with you and gather you safely to glory. He's been received into glory to gather you to glory at the appointed hour. The hours of our life, we believe they're appointed. Jesus said to the Jews, but this is your hour. The hour of the wicked to crucify Jesus was appointed by God. The cup was given to him at the appointed hour. He died in an appointed time. As he was born in an appointed time in the manger, in the stable. In an appointed time he meets that people his father's given him, to blow upon their soul and bring them into concern and bring them into distresses, to stir up their little nest. I say that tremblingly. None of us like a little nest disturbed, do we? Not one of us. And yet the Lord, oh, he stirs up one way or another. Sometimes in afflictive dispensation, sometimes by reproving us, convincing us, oh, shaking our lives. many solemn ways, a word from the pulpit, private readings of scripture, and you find there's a hand and a mighty hand. And you come to this place, you must receive mercy. You must know his blessing. He must come to you. And he must help you. You see how the Syrophoenician woman, she did need help, didn't she? Her afflicted daughter. See, in the scriptures, you see so many coming with so many things in their troubles, in their soul. There were these guilty sinners, and there were these things with sorrows in their life. They came to Jesus, the Son of the living God, who now lives in glory. Poor sinners in this 21st century have to come to him in all their sorrows and distresses. And he sees the Lord, he blows upon the sword as he sanctifies trouble. He sanctifies and separates. He awakens us to our true state. Well, our poet says, afflictions make us see. Didn't see it when we were prospering, did we? Afflictions make us see. What else would escape our sight? How very vile and dim are we. And God, how pure and bright. And as sanctified, you begin to see in Christ such a light and such a life. Begin to see and believe in him. There's a fountain of mercy in him. There's a fullness of grace in him. He's the deep, sweet well of love. He alone can bless me, satisfy me, help me. He alone can speak to my heart and comfort me with an everlasting comfort. He alone can gather me safely. He alone can hear my poor prayers in these things that he lays upon us here below, in the way he leads us forth. Go back to that text 107 verse 7, you see, he led them forth by the right way. So the shepherd leads his people. Now, one or two things. My friend, are you among those that really call upon that name? Are you among those that have to confess your sins, your ruin? Are you among those that know this deep in your heart? It's only the Lord's favour and blessing and strength that can really save you. It's his compassion, his pity, his help alone will do you good in your little life here. In your circumstance at home and business and family and your never dying soul. Are you brought to tremble before the Lord? Are you among those who are feeling after Christ? Has the Lord granted some helps? Can you not trace out any answers to your poor petitions? Oh, my dear friends, have you proved there's a great one, a saviour in heaven's court? For you've had to cry unto the Lord in your trouble, and he's heard you. And thus far has saved you. In our exercises, when we're saved and delivered, Lord answers prayer, we're given relief. He comes and blesses us. There's still an unknown future. For those remaining steps, days or years of our life, we still need the same mercies, kindnesses, deliverances, tokens, answers to our prayers. We're relieved in our present dangers and present troubles. Oh, how nature would sit back, fold arms, rest, and go back to sleep again. But no. He led them forth by the right way. He keeps his people exercised. He brings upon them to see they're in the hands of a great God. And they want to be in his hands. And they want all that's in him. And therefore, you see, they look to that blessed days man who has heard them, has helped them. And they know in whom they believe. Although they're frail, mortal, journeying, and know not anything in front of them, yet, oh, they want the arms. Word on my mind.
been on my mind for some little while, really, but I haven't spoken from it. But it keeps recurring in my own thought here concerning Joseph, but his bow abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Have you proved this? Have your hands been made strong by the hands of the arms of the mighty God of Jacob? Has the Lord made your hands strong by the hand of the arms of the mighty God of Jacob? Has it been strengthening in your soul, hope raised up? Now concerning the unknown, may we be helped really to give him all the glory, my friends, and say, choose thou the way, but still lead on. In some of my bitterest trials, when the enemy's been laughing and roaring destruction, no prayers to be heard. If you pray, according to his will, he'll destroy you. But you know, in those seasons, there'll be one or two in my life, I believe it will help me to completely submit myself into his hand. They're private things in my little life, very personal, and were very distressing. And oh, in his tender mercy, showed much pity. And I believe I can raise an Ebenezer and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. My friends, he reveals Christ. That blessed Spirit reveals Christ. Jesus reveals himself. He visits your soul. He comes in your heart. He raises up a sweet hope in you because he bestows that precious faith to believe, to begin to believe, if I may put it this way, of something of the glorious fullness of grace that's in him. And you see it there and you want it for yourself. You make your petitions to him. Now this is the work of God. And blessed be God if you know something of that work of grace in your heart. Nor is to have burdens removed. Sweet sense of the echo of his precious sin atoning blood. There's been that fear not in your life. Oh, that commanding of deliverance to you. Answers to your poor prayers. Some real help and some little token of tender mercy to you. Well, he says, oh, that men, oh, that I could more. I can come in with Gadsby, I really can. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart. Does it express your desire, friends? I know your flesh is weak, and so is the poor minister as well. It's a grief to me. I believe it may be a grief to you. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. I found at the turn of the year, many anxieties about the future. Real anxiety because of my sinnership is one problem and other things in my life. Yet I did feel a real longing to bow down before him and bless his name. Oh, good God. Dear friend, you've a good God to go to, a blessed God. His blood speaks for all comers. May we believe that report. Notice how the Holy Ghost has rendered things, you see. At the beginning of the chapter of the sufferings of Jesus. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's a great question. Oh, that we might believe that report more. His blood speaks for all comers. He said himself, said any way. And I speak carefully this word. But why I say carefully? Yes, because of maybe the tender conflicts of your soul. But it's the truth of the Son of God, my friend. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. We're also told to ask according to his will. That means giving him the glory. He whose right it is to govern me and mine. He has the prerogative over us. But he knows your distressed heart and grieved mind. And he
in his pity and his love, his mercy, he's carried this people all the days of old. And he delights in mercy. Therefore, ask in his name for all that you need and persist at the throne of grace on this one ground alone. He's the Christ. Well, if you know some of these things, now see, I've got to close shortly. Time's gone rapidly. Oh that we men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wonderful works if he's dealing with you. Wonderful works he brought to his feet as a broken-hearted sinner. Wonderful works, my friends, if there's a real cry from your soul, Lord help me, Lord bless me. And wonderful works, in hearing your poor prayers thus far and undertaking for you and bringing you now to his feet. Where were we living before he began to deal with us? Far off. Now I've gone to chapel prayer, and that's a right and proper thing to do, but far off in soul and exercise. But now, Lord, bless me. Lord, forgive me. And he says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. This is the acceptable sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise flows out from the sweet fruit and efficacy of the sacrifice of God's own Lamb for once for sinners slain. The sacrifice of praise flows out of a man's heart when he begins to see and realize something of the tender mercy of the day spring toward him. When that day star begins to arise in his heart, the hope of Israel, your hope for time and eternity, the one you have to tell all your secrets to, go with all your troubles, whose name you may plead and do plead. He says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. What a mercy the Lord's begun to work in your heart. A mercy if you're among the poor now. A mercy if you're among those whom the Lord is dealing with. Having taken hold of you. And now, my friends, you're clay in his hand. And you want to be in his hand. And you want his loving hand to strengthen you. You want the kiss of his mouth and the sweet sense of his tender mercy toward you all your days. What did Hezekiah say after when he was raised up for his affliction? I'll go softly all my days. What do you mean, tenderly, in the fear of God, through this great distress? Oh, go softly. Tenderly. Remembering what the Lord has done, how he's dealt with me, brought me down to the gates of death, and raised me up again. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with the rest. They declare his works. It's always the glory of Christ when those who fear God and go softly all their days, they declare the works of the Lord. Yes, with real rejoicing, real praise, real thanking, a sense of gratitude, the Lord's tender mercies. He's worthy, my friends, worthy to be crowned Lord of all. Yes, we have a need for the future. But may we render all honour by bringing our soul and body and circumstance to one whom we believe to be the blessed one sent from God, to lodge ourselves safely at his feet by precious faith, to keep venturing to the mercy seat. I'm sure of this, you who know these things, you have a secret in your soul. You know the power. It's the drawing love of your Father. None can come to him. Your exercise wouldn't be toward him but for the drawing love of your Father. Cries from your heart, the desire to render praise. It all is to do with the drawing love of your Heavenly Father. Well, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works, his goodness, the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his name. Blessed name. What a blessed name. Yes, one that is above all others well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, costly his life, free to you, and knows no end, is an everlasting love. They, who once his kindness prove, do you know some kindness, my friend? Find it everlasting love in the unknown way. Everlasting love to this people to go them safely out of this great tribulation. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, bless that which has been true and of the Holy Ghost. May something remain to instruction, help, salvation to us. May we each be enabled in due time to declare of thy works with rejoicing. So follow with thy blessing, forgive all spoken wrongly, and now do grant us each safe journeys home, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Fred Ince on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 458. Once more before we part, we'll bless the Saviour's name. Record his mercies every heart, sing every tongue the same. Hymn 458.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.